All right, welcome back. Time to talk to Frosty. Always a great thing to do. Frosty, how cold is it up there at 9,200 feet? 10,000 feet?
8,000 feet, and it's been 15 below here for the last week, but it started to warm up a little bit. We actually had it crack over to 37 degrees, and a couple of bicyclists were out today and enjoying the balmy weather.
Yeah, it was 65 here last Friday, over 60 today. We're at 2,400 feet, but it has not been much of a winter yet, which is fine here. I know it's cold elsewhere, but we've been lucky, so I'll take it.
Yeah,
It's
well, it's,
okay.
I'm half Swede,
Yeah, I got
so
it.
I like that cold, and I got to ski 12 inches of powder, and I'll tell you, of all the sports I've done in my life, when you get into a powder day, every cell in your body just jumps for joy, is singing, and as happy as it can be, because powder, it's almost like floating and flying on a cloud. And your skis never touch bottom, and you make these carving turns, and you come through the bumps, the moguls, and your whole body is flowing with the earth itself. And it's a feeling that has captured me for over 50 years now. And so, yeah, I was last week in that powder. I was having the time of my life. So, yeah, we'll take advantage of those days and enjoy them. It's almost like if I get it, I get I'm at six, about 7,000 feet at Buffalo Bill's grave there in Golden, and it's called the Lariat Loop, and it goes about 5 miles down from Buffalo Bill's grave to the spires at the bottom of the road there, and it's like a giant lariat. And when you come down that thing, it's just like you're
How do you
flying
get how do you
like an
get
eagle.
down that thing? Oh, when you say you get, how do you get down that thing?
Yeah, you just, I mean, I just, I ride my bike over there from my house, and I get on the, it's a, you know, it's a winding road, and it gets over to Buffalo Bill's grave, and he asked to get buried there so he could overlook all of the Great Plains and over Denver, which he loves so much, and in fact he is buried there,
So it's a two lane road.
Yeah, it's a two-lane
two-lane
road,
road.
and it just literally, there's not a straight section to it. It's just winding. It looks like it's like a lariat, like a rope lariat.
Gotcha.
And when you get on it, it's just like being like an eagle. You're just sailing down this mountain. Of course, in it, you can get down in about 15 to 20 minutes, but then it takes you an hour and a half to get back up. But it's
Oh,
wonderful.
come on!
So,
You
yeah.
can you can hitchhike your way back up. They'll throw your bike in the back.
Oh no, you don't do that. You ride up.
I know
because
that would be cheating. I'm kidding.
It would
I
be
know.
cheating. Hey,
Well,
I have to
here's
tell you,
Frosty. Yeah, go
there's
ahead.
a 70-year-old man. There's a 70-year-old man in Golden. This is no kidding. He set a world record. He has bicycled from the bottom, right there in the spires, at the bottom of the loop, 4.9 miles. He has bicycled up to the top and back down 17,000 times. That's the world record so far.
Oh my. Really?
17,000 times.
He must have 30 gears on his bike. Get down low enough.
It's not that, you know, I've got on mine I've got 21 gears, and so it's no problem at all. You just put it in the low gear and then you just crank it up and all of a sudden you're at the top. And but
yeah, well,
he goes down. He's done
easier,
it 17,000 trips to the
that's
top.
Mind-boggling. That's a Guinness Book of Records thing.
Oh yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, and I think I told you. And those people, anyone listening, I got a message. I think it was 2 years ago. And I think I told you about this. I met a man on the coast. And I was watching the birds, and just came back through the brush. And here's a guy with a bike. He's on a bike, and he's got Alaska to Panama.
A bicycle or a bike?
Yeah, bicycle. Oh yeah, bicycle.
Okay. Right.
Anyway, so I go over there and talk to him. Sandy and I were both talking to him, And he starts talking, I'm talking to him back and forth. And I said, well, you know, here's my card. My name is Frosty Wooldridge. And he says, Frosty Wooldridge? I've got all your books. I go, oh, really? Oh, he says, yeah, I prepared for this trip. I'm going from Alaska to Panama. And I'm going for a Guinness Book World Record. And so he said, I said, well, yeah, but I've done that myself. It's, you know, it's not that big a deal. There's a lot of people who have gone Transamerica. And he says, yeah, but I'm 80 years old. So anyway, he rode the book. He rode his bicycle all the way down to Panama, and he wrote a book. It's called Octogenarian Odyssey, trading a sofa for a bicycle seat. And he's in the Guinness Book of World Records as an 80-year-old. Now, the surprise is, two weeks ago, I got an email from him, and I got his book. His book, I'm reading his book right now, and it's a lot of fun. And he is now 1 week away from the bottom of South America, Ushuaia, Tierra del Fuego, which I've also done myself.
Right, right this minute, entire, right now. He's right there now.
Okay. He's literally right there right now. Mm-hmm. He will have a new world record. He's 81 years old now, and he has Transamericas. He has ridden from Alaska through North America, Central America, and all of South America, 18,000 miles.
Unreal. True.
Guinness Book of World Records. He's 81 years old. His name is Robert D. Fletcher. You can all look him up on Facebook, and you'll see
good
that
job,
he has gone
Robert.
To the bottom of South America. And in fact, my bike's right in front of the sign there in Ushuaia. It's the lowest city in the world. It's the southerlymost city in the world.
Mm-hmm.
He's 81. So it just
goes
to show
you. That's wonderful.
Anyone,
it ages,
any of us.
Yeah. The number, the age game, it's a number. I realized that when I was a kid. It's just a means to control other people. They start thinking, I'm 60, I'm 40, I'm getting old, whatever. It's a psychological operation, and it's a method of control. It's a number. It means nothing compared to your physiological health, your mental health, etc. It means nothing.
Exactly. That's exactly right. So, yeah, and he's going to write and he asked me to write a foreword to the book. So I wrote a foreword, and the foreword is, I really wrote a foreword for him. And, he's an uncommon man, and obviously he inspires everybody. And he actually took my theme of an uncommon man, and he said, hey, I'm just a regular guy. I just put one pedal in front of the other, and so can you. And he says, anyone can get off the sofa and get onto a bicycle seat, or they can get onto a ski slope. Or, just last month I summited a 13,000 footer once again. I went hut skiing, and we camped out there at the hut at 11,000 feet, and skied right up to the top of a 13,209 foot Homestake Peak in the Mount Holy Cross region. Anybody can do it, because everybody that was on that trip with me was over 70. Everybody was over 70. So, you can get out there and you can do life.
17,000 is still reverberating in my mind.
13,000, I think, I sent you my book, my book with the cover, Living Your Spectacular Life. Yeah. That's me on the left holding the skis, and that's my friend Al Wilson. He's on the right. He snowshoed up. I skied up with skins, and he snowshoed up, and we're on the top, and that's on the cover of my book, Living Your Spectacular Life.
That's a great picture.
Is that a wild picture? As a matter of fact, the Rotarians of Evergreen are now having me speak on Friday about living a life of adventure. And I'm excited. I got a great slideshow for them. I got a PowerPoint. I'm going to have them all salivating to get out there and do some adventure.
There's so many people who fail. They fail themselves. They fail to absorb the wonders that this planet and life have. And thank God you're around to help pick it all up. Otherwise, it would go to complete waste. I mean, you've taken in more joy than, probably a million people. Think about it.
It has been as a matter of fact, the president of the club asked me to put down Well, I'll read this to everyone. I think it's important. It's about an uncommon man or uncommon woman, and it applies to anyone who chooses to do their own life by getting off, you know, getting out of the cubicle, getting out of, you know, getting out of the humdrum of life,
yeah,
and actually
routine,
being creative.
The rut. You got it.
Yeah, the rut, if you will. And he says, in the name of the guy, he wrote this, and his name is Dean Alfange, 1899 to 1989. Uh-huh. He said, and I quote, "I do not choose to be a common man or woman. It is my right to be uncommon if I can. I seek opportunity, not security. I do not wish to be kept citizen, humbled and dulled by having the state look after me. I want to take the calculated risk, to dream and to build, to fail and to succeed. I refuse to barter incentive for a dole. I prefer the challenges of life to the guaranteed existence, the thrill of fulfillment to the stale calm of utopia. I will not trade freedom for beneficence, nor my dignity for a handout. I will never cower before any master, nor bend to any threat. It is my heritage to stand erect, proud and unafraid, to think and act for myself, enjoy the benefit of my creations, and to face the world boldly and say, this I have done," unquote.
That's the way to do it. That's your prime directive. Do it.
That's
do
exactly
it, and do it.
It.
Do it to the very best of your ability, whatever it is you do. No one's
That's
here
right.
to judge. But you do it whatever it is, you got it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's funny, like, They ask me to write about my adventures around the world, and so the guy that's doing the PowerPoint, uh-huh. he said, "Well, just write down a few of the things you've done," and I said, "Well, yeah, I guess I can do that." I'm telling you, I wrote these all down. I've just got Frosty Wooldridge's Adventures Around the World, and I mean, I'm almost stunned. Starting out, bicycled Hawaii. Bicycled 15 times across America, coast to coast, southern tier, central tier, northern tier, different routes. Bicycled
unreal.
Across Canada, Vancouver, British Columbia to St. John's, Newfoundland. That's like 4,700 miles. Bicycled four times down the west coast from Canada to Mexico. Bicycled four times down the Continental Divide from Canada to Mexico. Bicycled 4,500 miles from Nordkap, Norway to Athens, Greece. Bicycled the perimeter of Australia, over 17,000 miles, 1 year, including Tasmania. Bicycled from Hong Kong to the Great Wall of China. Bicycled and camped in Antarctica. Bicycled Japan and Thailand. Bicycled from Caracas, Venezuela to the bottom of South America, Ushuaia, and back up to Paraguay over to Rio, 7,000 miles. Bicycled and camped in all 50 states. Bicycled to Alaska once. Backpacked Nepal, Thailand, and Bhutan. Motorcycled all of Europe. Motorcycled seven times to Alaska. Motorcycled all 50 states and Canadian provinces and territories. Motorcycled to all U.S. State capitals. Motorcycled from Denver to Key West to San Diego to Alaska and the Arctic Circle on the Dalton Highway, 24,000 miles, 5 months in 1977. Repeated it again in 1980. One of the first motorcyclists to do the Dempster Highway across the Arctic Circle in the Northwest Territories, Canada. Canoed the Mississippi River from Lake Itasca to New Orleans, 2,552 miles. Rafted the Colorado River through the Grand Canyon. Rafted the Arkansas, the Clear, the Creek, the Selway, the Snake, the American Rivers. Shot over in New Zealand. Scuba dived all the oceans of the world except the Arctic Ocean, but I did dip my foot into the Arctic Ocean in Norway. Scuba dived in the Galapagos Islands. Scuba dived on the Great Barrier Reef. Reef diving in Hawaii. Mountaineering, hut skiing for 40 years in Colorado. Alpine skiing in Colorado for 50 years. Summited all 53+1 14,000 footers in Colorado. Volunteer ski instructor for the disabled for 24 years. Picked up over 1 million pieces of trash on six continents in the past 70 years. Taught math and science in Brighton, Colorado. Anyway, those are some of the adventures over the years. You know, one of the things I never thought about is Frosty.
Hold on.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to say. I don't have words to react to that, and I'm sure many of our listeners are just—they're probably sitting slack-jawed. This is what one person can do with a dream and a vision and the discipline to make it happen.
Yeah.
Wow! Just wow, wow.
Yeah, I worked for every dollar to put myself on the road to all those adventures.
Yeah.
Not a single dime was given to me for this adventuresome life, you know, and so I'm proud of it. There's no question. But at the same time, I did not know, you know, just to really put it out there, I did not know that this travel, these travels, all through China, all through India, you know, all the way up to the wall of China, all the way through India, you know, all through South America, they gave me perspective that helps me understand and write the kind of commentaries that I write and the books that I write. I have all this in me from all those travels, all those cultures, all those people that I met along the way. It's astounding. And again, even in my Christmas letter, I think, you know, you got my Christmas letter, and
I, a lot of perspective there.
You're most welcome.
Oh, yes.
And I am so thankful for the perspective and the understanding of how the world works and how countries work and how cultures work. And that's why when I write the pieces that I write for Rinse.com, I bring all that information and all that experience to the forefront. And that's why, you know, the United States of America, it's the country I love. It's the country I was born in. It's my country. It's our country. And it's a country I hope succeeds, and that we all pull together in one direction so that we have a country. And that's why I write, when I write the sobering commentaries that I write, it's like, hey, use your common sense and let's get together on this and let's pull in one direction so that we have the United States of America, whether we're black and brown, yellow, I didn't make any difference what color you are. The key is that we all need and we all have an investment in and we all have a stake in the United States of America succeeding as a civilization. And that's why I really bring all these commentaries to the forefront so that we have an understanding that we could very well be losing this country if we continue on this very separated, woke, and simply incredibly dysfunctional political path that we're on right now.
I agree. It must be infinitely more frustrating and saddening to you to see what's being done to our once really remarkable culture, our people, our ethics, mm-hmm. our ethos, our values, all been trashed, disgusting, awful, what's been done to them by the same people. And it's all done through the media, primarily.
Yeah.
What we are now is millennials and Gen Z. Next up is Gen Adam, I think it is. Adam? Anyway. They're all being, they don't know what we know. They didn't experience what we lived through. They have no idea what we're talking about. They can't imagine what it must be like, except some science fiction construct that they can't get to. Can't. Victim. Not everyone. And many of you listening right now are in that Gen Z and millennial group, and you are really good people, or you wouldn't be listening. You get it. And I've had people in that same age group tell me that it is so disgusting to be around their peer groups who have no fire in their stove to do anything. They're just kicking back, looking for handouts, living at home. They're like, yeah, I forget how many Americans are living at home with their parents in their 40s now. Think about it. I don't blame them. The economy's bad. I get that. But I don't understand where the drive is. It's gone. People used to have it. They'd get a goal, a vision, and they'd go for it. You know the game. That's how you live your life. They don't have that anymore. They look at them. They look upon themselves as being victims. It's a victim culture for the under 40s now. Sad to say. Not good. Not for everyone, but for too many of them.
And that is, from obviously my perspective over the last five decades, is that we really have become a country that unfortunately doesn't know what it's like to be on a farm, doesn't know what it's like to...
They have no idea. They know asphalt and concrete.
Right. They think milk comes out of a carton. They think steak comes out of a plastic cellophane underneath the wrap there at the grocery store. And when in reality, as a kid, I used to take care of the chickens and I used to collect the eggs. In fact, my grandpa taught me how to cut a chicken's head off on a wooden horse. And you just simply you have the axe. And you stick the chicken on the on the wooden horse, and you very quickly chop its head off, and then you put it in the boiling pot, and then you pull the quills, all the feathers out, and that's how you get your dinner, chicken. That's what it is.
That's a lot more humane.
How do you get milk? You got to milk the cows. I milked the cows growing up.
Look, if people learned how chicken is provided to KFC, for example, where it comes from, how it's raised, the inhumane conditions,
etc. Oh, inhumane, yeah.
Oh, it's awful. They don't.
Yeah, they don't understand
that. It was an honest way of living and surviving on the planet. And all species do the same sort of thing. If you think about it, most of them, except for the grazing group, the others that are carnivorous, they eat their way to long lives, and I get it.
Well, it certainly is interesting for all of us, and the thing is that I certainly as a teacher, certainly as a guidance counselor in college, certainly as an Army officer, certainly as a cardiac cath med tech, and certainly as a person who has, a truck driver, seeing families and moving people and all that goes with that. In the end, whether it's Generation Z or Generation X or Generation, woke or whatever, life will teach you lessons. And you will learn that lesson the first time, or it'll come back a little bit harsher the second time.
Yes, you got to be a good, responsible student. Right.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And one of the things, like, I took Sandy down to an appointment today, and it was on Wadsworth and 6th Ave, and we came off the exit, and there was a guy begging for money at the corner, and there was another guy just, 20 feet from him who had a mattress, and he had blankets, and these two guys were sleeping on the mattress on 6th Ave and Wadsworth in Denver, Colorado, and tonight it's going down to around 20. And that the trucks are going to be going by, and yet that's all they do is they beg for money on the corner. And these guys, they couldn't have been over 30 years old. And yet you can go to McDonald's right now, and you can get a $22 an hour job in Denver just making burgers for McDonald's.
That's minimum wage, huh? Starting wage.
Yeah, it's minimum wage. It's minimum wage in Denver because they can't get anybody to work unless they pay them $22. Well, you can't even live in Denver and have an apartment unless you have somewhere around, I think it's about $28 an hour is the only way you can have an apartment and eat food and literally pay your bills in Denver, Colorado, because it's very high living expenses. And so, and here's the tragedy for me as an American is that there are 10,000 homeless, just like these two guys we saw on the corner in Denver. But just last week, the figures came in from the illegal aliens that have come up from Eagle Pass there in Texas or Arizona and certainly in California. There are 37,500 illegal aliens in Denver. And Mayor Johnston, who is open borders and certainly a sanctuary city mayor, he's looking for $5 million from the American taxpayer to pay for these 37,500 illegal aliens that broke across our borders.
They're not illegal aliens.
Expect us to pay for it.
They're invaders, and they're being brought
here. Well, they're invaders,
through the communist Bolsheviks that are running this country. And I'll say this. I'm not speaking for Frosty. Anyone involved with pushing this open borders or border dissolution movement is guilty of highest treason. This country cannot function unless it has border demarcations. That's what defines a country, a nation state, borders. These people are guilty, I'll say it again, of highest treason. The federal government under Biden, O'Biden, now down in Texas, dismantling Governor Abbott's razor wire fences, taking it down. That is opening the border to invasion. That is highest treason. How else can you define it? How else? That's me talking.
And that's common sense talking. You know, having been down to the border now the last three springs down in Tucson and El Paso,
yeah,
and having visited the border, well, now over 10 times in the last 22, 3 years,
yeah,
we really are losing our country to this invasion that has been invited by Joe Biden and his handlers. Because Joe Biden isn't bright enough to light up he doesn't have enough electricity to light up a 20-watt white bulb. He's just not all there. And yet he's allowed. And, you know, his wife should report him. I would bet, because my wife has had the cognitive tests, I would bet that Joe Biden couldn't pass a cognitive test with even 5 points. He couldn't make 5 points on a cognitive test. For Alzheimer's.
Saying, if they inject him with methamphetamine or whatever they're giving him, maybe. But without that, he's at Shady Acres in a reclining wheelchair with a blanket on him. That's it, drooling. That's it. I don't know how they've kept him functioning. I really don't. They've got some amazing medical issues now from Big Pharma. They're using him on him.
Yeah, even that's not doing me any good. So it is fascinating because it is highest treason. And I would even say my two senators, Hickenlooper and certainly Bennett. Bennett has a PhD, but he has the common sense of a five-year-old because he and Hickenlooper were both open borders, and they're both U.S. senators. They have done nothing secure the borders. They have done nothing as the governor of
treason.
The state. Yeah, treason
enemies
is exactly
state.
Right.
Enemies of the state.
They truly have been useless. In fact, I wrote Bennett today. I said, I've been down to the border. I said, we got 37,500 illegals in Denver. We've got 10,000 American citizens who are homeless in Denver. And you invited another 37,000 up here. You've done nothing in 10 years in the Senate. And I said, you've got a PhD and you got the common sense of a five-year-old. And the same thing with Hickenlooper. Hickenlooper is just as treasonous. Both those men and my one House member, Brittany Pedersen, totally useless as far as carrying out the laws of the land, as far as their responsibilities to the U.S. Constitution, as far as their responsibilities to Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution, which I know better than they do, and certainly U.S. Code 8, Section 1324. Most people don't know this, but if you hire, if you house, or you transport an illegal alien, it's $2,000 per illegal alien, and it's up to 5 years in prison. If you just enforce that single law alone, you could stop the invasion of our country in a heartbeat and throw all these people from all these other countries out of our country. There's now, again, we talked about it last time, somewhere between 48 and 50 million illegals in this country. They are not doing this country any good. They need to be deported. We need to go after them.
They hate us. Listen, let me pose this again.
Yep.
If there is a thriving country, it has borders, it has regulations and rules about allowing people in, becoming citizens, we know the game. And if you are actively involved with trying to destroy the borders of a nation state on this planet, what are you beside the highest example of a traitor to the nation that you can imagine? I'm sorry, I can't come up with any other way to look at it. Now, Governor Abbott of Texas has not only tricked a lot of people. So I've gotten them on buses and got them out of Texas. What did he do with them? Did he send them back across the border? No, he sent them to the interior heartland of America, to sanctuary cities, saying, I'm going to teach them a lesson. he is guilty of highest treason because he's facilitated the invasion of this country. He has transported 85,000 invaders all around the country and dropped them off. He's implanting them exactly what the America haters want done. He's doing it. Sorry, it doesn't work for me. There's no common sense there. He takes them across the border and dumps them off. You don't put them into the heartland of America. This is crazy, and no one's talking about it, at least not that I've seen.
Oh, no, and they are not talking about it, and they're not doing anything about it. And again, you've got 100 senators who have done absolutely nothing to stop the invasion. I mean, there's been Tom Cotton. I think he's in Arkansas. I think Missouri is Josh Hawley. There's one or two other, you know, there's Jim Jordan of Ohio. There's some senators that I have a tremendous amount of respect for, and there's a few of the House members. But the collective of the entire U.S. House and Senate, 535 characters, are useless. They are absolutely useless. And it's frightening that we are being unled or non-led into a very, very dangerous future. And one of the things I did, and I would invite everyone to go to my category on Rince.com, and I've written a piece. It's almost terrifying, really. It's called "We Have Become a Nation That Has Lost Its Collective Mind." Mm-hmm. And what I've done is done a juxtaposition of what's going on in this country that's absolutely insane, where a rational, reasonable person would say, hold it, we can't keep doing this. I'll just give you an example. Here in the United States, there are people who have never owned slaves that are told they should pay reparations to people who have never been slaves.
$1 trillion.
People who have never been to college should pay for the loans for people who borrowed money to go to college. Yep. And then you've got illegal aliens with polio, leprosy, and TB coming across our borders are welcome.
Yep.
But you better prove that your dog has been vaccinated for rabies. And then you've got doctors and engineers from Europe who want to immigrate to the United States legally and must go through a thorough vetting process for several years. Yeah. But any illiterate gangbangers, rapists, drug dealers, and terrorists who jump our southern borders are welcome. Do you see the insanity of that?
It is completely insane. Geopolitically insane, but more than that, it's insane from a human perspective. It's insanity. This country is acting like it wants to commit suicide, but it's more than that. This is an intentional overthrow and destruction operation underway that we're watching right now, all planned, all carefully laid out, and now being deployed against us. They're taking this country down. They, you know who they are, we'll leave it at that, but it's nothing by any stretch of the imagination that can be called coincidence, happenstance, whatever. This is all planned, and it has been planned for years and years. Nothing is happening quickly or by some kind of random nature. It's all part of the plan. That's the hardest part to accept. These people I mentioned are guilty of highest treason. When you're talking about destroying a nation, like if you send some high-tech disc with some plans on it for some military weapon to communist China, that's high treason. It's our enemy. You don't do that. And now the same thing with the border, but it's worse. We got nearly 50 million invaders in this country. 50 million, and most of them have never taken the shot. They're supposed to survive us. Keep that in mind. Yeah. They're not supposed to get the shots and die. They're supposed to survive and replace us. I call them invader replacements. Go ahead.
Well, that's, you know, and so what I tried to point out in this thing is it's okay to have a DNA male penetrate women's sports where they can beat the crap out of women in tennis and wrestling and boxing and swimming and volleyball
boxing,
and crew, track.
People are going to die. They will kill them.
That's exactly right. But it's not fair for anyone to complain about it like 10-time national swimming champ Riley Gaines. It's okay for the leaders of the NCAA to allow this insanity, but it's not okay for anyone with an ounce of common sense to question it. And even more absurd is that when somebody pretends to be a transgender female when they're actually a DNA male, we're supposed to agree with it and accept the complete mental illness of it all, as if we're supposed to be a part of the charade. Right. I'm sorry, that's not the way it's supposed to be. And I got to ask, how many of you want a diversity, equity, and inclusion pilot in your 747 jet when you fly off to Europe or off to Hawaii or off to Vegas? This whole insanity of DEI means unqualified people who did not qualify academically, who did not qualify, period, for a position.
You want somebody with a 75 IQ at the co-pilot seat of the airliner you're going to take across country? A Boeing 757 today collapsed just before takeoff. The front wheel just buckled and collapsed. Another Boeing success story. How many pilots have we lost now who have died in the cockpit or just about to go on board to take off because of the shots? That's horrible. But hiring people who are not there's no way these are people cannot. What is the word that you want to use? Competency, I guess, is the one. I keep wanting to say competent. But it's qualified more so than that. And they're actually hiring these people to meet some kind of a quota and to prove that they're not discriminatory against those of color and those of LGBTQ persuasion. No. And what's worse, though, is the maintenance aspect of these planes. These airliners, and our military planes, by the way, require the best possible maintenance procedures, quality control, all of that. These people have to be incredibly well trained, and they're hiring idiots now to join the maintenance ranks of major airlines. They are, and this is going to result. We're going to lose planes. Now, they had a military jet, an F-35 Lightning, I don't know which model it was, which the most expensive jet fighter in history, over $1.2 trillion to date, and only 50% of them or less are actually airworthy at any time. But somebody worked on the engine of an F-35. It's got dual intakes. I think it's got one big engine. Right. They left a flashlight in the engine, Frosty. They started the engine up. It blew the engine up, did $14 million damage to the F-35, and they had to write it off as a total loss. One flashlight. One forgetful moment. Now, was that guy possibly injected and suffering short-term memory loss? Was he not focusing on the job? I don't know. But everybody they hire in these sensitive, critically important positions of mechanics and maintenance, or if they're shot up, they should not be in those positions. They should not be in those positions. Sorry, that's me talking. It's too dangerous. We're going to lose planes. It's coming. It's coming.
It's coming, and the harsh reality, when it gets down to the real nitty-gritty, you don't have affirmative action in the National Football League. Because you actually want the finest athletes possible. That's why the blacks and the whites and the browns on a particular football team are all pulling in the same direction, and they're all doing their job because they are the best at their job. Whereas if you go to places like Harvard, they hired a gay, black Harvard president.
I saw it.
Her name was Claudine.
Her name was gay, by the way.
Yeah. Pardon?
How about that? Her name was gay.
She was incompetent, and she plagiarized on her doctoral thesis. And do you know what her doctoral thesis was? No. African studies, as if that has some kind of validity in the world
highly
today.
Marketable.
And can you fix a car, Claudine Gay? Can you do something of value to the society? Instead, she's up there making absurd
$976,000 a year, I think it was.
Yeah.
I think that's
what
it was.
She actually, I think her just her teaching degree or her teaching program. She makes $900,000 a year teaching African studies.
That's right.
As if that has anything to do with America, if it has anything to do with a viable vocation.
Yes.
And then she was stuck up there at the highest level, totally incompetent, affirmative action to the ninth degree.
That's right.
And it, thankfully, she got thrown out. Also, McGill out of the UPenn, same thing. But then you start finding out the kind of money that is being brought in. Then how sane is it for us to allow the Communist Party of China to buy up tens of thousands, I think it's into hundreds of thousands of acres of land in
lots
our country.
Of farmland. Lots of
farmland. And we can't
Gates
buy
well.
A single acre in China.
No. No, of course not. Try to move to Mexico. See how far you get. Try that out.
Exactly. So, again, you sit here and you've got everybody pissing and moaning about their lot here in America. When, again, I'll state this emphatically, every race, every color, every person in America lives at the highest standard of living in the world compared to the rest of the world.
That's true.
Blacks in this country live in the highest standard of living. Browns in this country live at the highest standard of living. So for you to trash your own country, somebody like Joy Reid, she's on MSNBC.
Oh, what
this
she
lady
said the other day
a balloon
was
for a brain.
Despicable
oh,
what
despicable.
She said the other day.
She's a racist. I mean, she foments racism. And yet, you know what her annual salary is? $1.4 million. I looked it up. So here she is trashing the country that pays her $1.4 million because she's black, not because she's smart, not because she's educated, not because anything. She's simply an airhead, and she's a pundit, and she's put there in that position because of affirmative action, and she makes a fool out of herself every time she opens her mouth, kind of like the presidential gal, Jean-Pierre Green, or whatever that lady is up there in front of the White House, making a fool of herself every day. In the end, I'm hoping that the American people start going back to the standard of education, hard work, academics, earning your degree, earning your diploma, earning your vocational tech, earning your electrician job, learning and earning your plumbing job, and whatever it is that you want to get into, because you have all these choices when you educate yourself and you then apply so that you're a competent person that's going to be a part of our society and literally contribute to our society. That, to me, is the most important.
Here's what we've got on the other end of that card, though, and that's a good card to bring up. $22 minimum wage. I think it's more than that in some California jobs now. $22 for working in a fast food place. All right, I understand the idea people have to be able to make enough money to survive. I do understand that. But they're going about it with Band-Aids. This is not the way to try to fix the situation here. This country has been taken down so hard and so far, it's going to be a long way back. And without the will of the people propelling such an effort, it cannot happen. It cannot happen. There's no law passed that's going to change anything. If the people don't have pride in their country and want to protect it, want to nurture it, want to enhance it in every way possible, there's no hope, Frosty. And unfortunately, our younger people don't have that drive. They don't have that self-awareness. They're really not fit for purpose. All they think about is, what can I get? What's owed me? How do I get it? And then this whole social media world is detracting them from any kind of thought. They don't think anymore. They just look and they react. And they hit that TikTok button and look at the next short little video clip. They just check out. Anyway, this whole thing is bad. But you're right. You understand the formula. There's only one way this is going to happen, if the American people make it happen.
That's exactly right. And what I'm hoping is there's enough people to wake up soon enough to say, hold it. We've got a pretty good thing right here. We better protect it. See, so at the end of my article, I just say what needs to be going on in this country, and what we need to do is, of course, take action and with common sense. So I bring some points up. Number one, with millions of illegals crossing our borders, we need to revoke the asylum bill. It's that simple. We're not a destination country. Fix your own country in your own country like we did back in 1776. Fix your own country in your own country and stay in your own country. We don't need you. We don't want you. We like to have all American citizens be all American citizens. Number two, we need to stop all illegal immigration by using our armed forces at the border to turn them back. I mean, arrest them and deport them right at the border. Shove them back into Mexico. Let Mexico know that we're not going to put up with this crap anymore because Mexico's making billions of dollars on this invasion.
Oh, people are paying for every step of this. You got it. Oh. The invasion is, it's a big moneymaker. Thank you.
Oh, a huge moneymaker. Along with the drugs, yeah, you name it. Severe prosecution in prison for shoplifters. You notice In-N-Out Burger just went down out there in California today. Shoplifters,
you mean the whole
drug
chain?
Dealers.
The chain?
Yeah. One of the big stores, they're closing left and right because they're having people come in trying to rob them inside. They're doing harm to the patient or to the customers. Right. So In-N-Out Burger is going down there in California.
Well, you're seeing the beginning of the end of most walk-in retail in this country.
Right.
It's all going internet, DoorDash, they'll bring it right to your door, right? They will. Groceries,
right.
Hot food, DoorDash, think about it, things like that. It's all being changed. This whole canvas is being repainted right in front of our eyes.
Well, and we're losing the moral and ethical foundation of the country, and John Adams said it, the only way that the U.S. Constitution can survive is that if we have a citizenry that's educated and that has a moral and ethical foundation so that the moral and ethical foundation of each citizen is a part and parcel of being responsible citizens to our society, to law and order. And there's no question we're losing that. And so I'm saying get tough with these people. MS-13 gangbangers, car thieves, and rapists, just uphold the laws of our country and put these criminals in jail and return us back to law and order.
What's happened? One quickie. The entire, court system is now packed with communist judges. They're turning these people loose, as you well know. Kate Steinle's murderer, et cetera. They're not afraid of breaking the law, these people. They know they're not going to be held accountable. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, Jesse Smollett, I mean, what a moron trying to start a race war there in Chicago. And he darn well almost got away with it. But guess what? He's still out on the bail because racism caused him to do what he did. What an idiot.
Hunter Biden?
I hope he rots in hell. He's such a waste of a human being. But how about stopping all DNA gender men from competing in women's sports? Period.
Period.
This farce of transgender men competing with women is just destroying the foundation of the NCAA.
Yes.
It's destroying swimming. It's destroying every woman's sport. It's got to stop. There's got to be enough of us in the country that have enough common sense to stop this, and we got to do it. We got to take action. Number five,
how
promote Americans on the basis.
How are we even talking about this, Frosty? Yep. How are we even discussing this?
It's beyond moronic. You know, the NCAA should fire every one of those morons at the top and get somebody there that has a brain and they can use their brain and make a common sense decision. Promote Americans on the basis of their academics, of their achievements, of their abilities and talents rather than their skin color or gender. I'm really tired of all this affirmative action crap that's going on. It doesn't do anybody any good. It makes lazy bums out of those who are getting put into positions without any talent, skills, or earning ability, and it screws everybody else that has to work around these people. And again, you do not want somebody that's a DEI graduate in the cockpit of a 747. How about this diversity, equity, and inclusion doesn't work, it won't work, and it has never worked. You need to earn your job based on your skills and your abilities. in the end, let's put Alzheimer's patient and frail Joe Biden out to pasture with the 25th Amendment. He should have been tossed out at least a year to a year and a half ago when it was apparent that he is simply unable to function as the President of the United States. He's feeble, he's frail, he's cognitively unfit and totally incapable of filling the office of the President of the United States. And the mainstream media needs to quit hiding that fact. Number seven, deport all Muslims in this country who are trying to eradicate other religions and marching in our streets with other foreign flags. I'm tired of seeing all these other foreign flags. Number eight, no health care, free food, housing, or schooling for illegal aliens. We have got to stop the magnet that's drawing all these illegal alien parents and then their illegal alien children, because it's costing us trillions of dollars. If you were never born a slave, if you were never a slave in America, I invite you to stay in school, earn your academic credentials, apply for thousands of jobs available to every American who can read, write, and perform simple math. How simple is that? And if you're an illegal alien, you cannot vote or register for a driver's license in America. You are a criminal.
It used to be like this. Yeah. All of it. It used to be this way. We lost
it.
It was taken away from us.
Right.
Gradual incrementalism is how it was done. If the American people can't regain their ability to identify as American patriot citizens and trust it with the most magnificent document in world history, the Constitution, without that, without love of country, how can we possibly think that there's a way to reverse this and stop the annihilation of America? I don't see it. We have to get, if the people won't do it, there's no hope. It's not going to come through any voting or geopolitical process here. Forget it. No, it's got to be the people.
It truly does have to be the people, because I guarantee you, nobody in Washington, D.C. is going to stop this immigration invasion. They haven't done it in 30 years. Why would they do it in the next 30 years?
Nope. Not going to happen. Wow.
So here's another
Frosty.
Common sense.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Internal border police, ICE, officers sweep every company in the United States looking for illegal aliens illegally working in America and deport them. Start in Maine and Washington State and work toward the middle. Find employers of illegal aliens, $2,000 each per illegal hired, and up to 5 years in prison. That comes right out of U.S. Code 8, Section 1324. That's the law. You start enforcing the law, and you'll see an exodus of 48 million people out of our country and get them back into their own country and get their own country working by their action in their own country. I'm tired of 48 million people sucking off my tax dollars and the crime that's going on, the $100 billion a year that they're shoplifting, and I got to pay for it, and not to mention the $1.5 trillion for all of the medical care and the anchor babies and everything else that goes with it. And finally, for those of you who borrowed money for college, pay your own loan back on your own dime, not on the taxpayer's dime. I mean, do these points make sense here right now in 2024?
Yes, they are points of survival. We're not going to make it if we don't. Frosty, thank you very much for that. Always inspiring, and you've got a handle on it. Like few people out there, we've got to have more like you. All right, thanks much. You take care.
Thank you. God bless. Okay. And God bless America.
Indeed. All right, hold on, gang. We'll take a little break. Come right back with David Oates coming up next from Australia. Be right back.
And sees budding opportunities before others do. Forecasting worldwide since 1980, Gerald Celeni, publisher of the Trends Journal, provides timely and accurate trend forecasts that have earned him the reputation as the most trusted name in trends. The proof is in the hundreds of accurate forecasts Celeni has made over the past 30 years. The 1987 stock market crash, the clean food trend, the dot-com bust. The Trends Journal alerts subscribers to early subtle signs of crucial trends that will shape our future. It allows readers to anticipate change, recognize the implications, and take proactive strategies. Put your money where your mind is with Gerald Celente's brilliant and indispensable Trends Journal. Go to trendsjournal.com or call 845-331-3500. That's 845-331-3500.